Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Well, good evening, America. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. Alex McFarland here, sitting in for attorney, broadcaster, pastor, journalist, Abe Hamilton III. And we've got a great show. We really do. Later on in the program, we will meet with theologian and historian Dr. Jerry Newcomb, that is a close friend of AFR and the show. And we'll talk a little bit about the Thanksgiving holiday coming up and the pilgrims, but also we'll get some of his thoughts about the passing of the first person that I ever interviewed on AFR 16 years ago. And it was, I'm not going to say it was an adversarial interview, but it was a bit of a debate, and it was Tony Campolo and myself. And he passed away, 24 hours ago. And I'll talk about that, why I think it's significant, and why I think it's really a reminder to be true to the Bible. But in this first half of the show, I'm very excited about the guest that we're going to visit with, Jason Ho. And he is the author of a book called The Big Plot, The Return of the Phoenix. And I think the subtitle says it all, how China is overtaking the U.S. by network stealing, influencing, corrupting, and crime. And as I bring this guest up, I'm reminded of C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis, as you may recall, he was a great apologist, defender of the faith. Well, Lewis was very famous for a lot of his books, like Mere Christianity and the Chronicles of Narnia. But C.S. Lewis also wrote, kind of famously, a space trilogy. And, you know, even though this was Lewis died 61 years ago. He lived 1898 to 1963. But in that hideous strength and out of the silent planet, in his science fiction work, Lewis talked about a time in the future where technology would rule people's minds and people would not be able to tell truth from fiction. And really, whoever controlled the grid could control the narrative and control truth. And when you control how people think and what people are allowed to think, if you control what viewpoints are suppressed and what viewpoints are allowed to be expressed, you can control the lives of people. And you know, Lewis died way before the advent of the internet and certainly AI. But in a way, you know, I think about how his warnings were really prophetic, and others we could talk about were as well. But right now I want to bring our guest on, Jason Ho, and he has written a lot about AI and Bill Gates. November 1st of this year, just, you know, 3 weeks ago, Bill Gates said that with the advent of AI, we would need to create new religions, new philosophies, man ultimately ushering in utopia, which is false. But author, scholar Jason Ho, thank you for being with us on the Hamilton Corner, and thank you for availing the rest of us to your research. I look forward to getting to know you, Jason.
Appreciate having a chance to be here. I will be happy to discuss any topics you suggested.
Give us a little bit of your background, and not only your background, but what you see as the impact, for good or bad, the impact of technology into our lives at this season of history.
Myself, I was born in Taiwan, and I was the lead designer for Joint Strike Fighter, the F-35 project of flight control and image display chips. And I've been targeted at the first day I joined the program. I've been targeted by elites in Taiwan. I didn't know where. I thought Taiwan was on the U.S. side. From education, we are trained, we learn, we have to fight against communists. So I believe helping Taiwan is the best way to fight against communist and to keep the faith, because I was born in the Christian family and my father was a general in the Nationalist, and he fought side by side with American during World War II. And so from my family influences, I thought and helping Taiwan is very critical, but I didn't know everything was a trap. And those Taiwanese elite, actually, they are family members to the founder of the Communist Party members. And I've been trapped, allured back to Taiwan, and technology stolen. So since then, now already 25 years, I'm still suffering their persecutions. And that strengthened my faith, because that's only way, the only mean I'm still here, standing, still here, can talk, and still can write a book, still can try to use my technology into the world to do something good.
Wow. My goodness. Talk to us, if you would, Jason, and may God bless you and may God keep you safe. I am very honored to speak with you. But try to help Americans listening. Help us understand the threat of communism and the way that technology is actually being used as a tool to subvert the West and promote communism.
China, the 5,000 history, is quite unique. I was born in Taiwan. We've been trained the Chinese history very well during our childhood. A lot of Westerners doesn't understand Chinese in 5,000 history. They really fought in the battlefield. They love to play tricks. They love to play games. In China, all the people in power always use a method. They can be your friend. Also, they can be your enemy. They play both sides. And always, the friendly side is the one destroying you. So in this case, and China communist becoming a very obvious adversary to the U.S., but Taiwan elite, not the Taiwanese people, Taiwan elite. They actually playing the friend side, be the American friend, be the Westerner friend, try to allure people and to come to the play. Just like a Foxconn, how much they damaged the Trump in the Wisconsin. Everyone, they talk about Foxconn, it's a fraud, it's a joke, but the Trump endorsed it. This is a very vivid example how Chinese play, and also that's always the message I want to deliver to people.
And also, let me say this, from what I've learned, not only in my study of history, but in interviewing people, Brother Jason, the Chinese mindset is very patient and willing to invest long amounts of time to achieve objectives. Let me give you a case in point, because I think Americans view history very quickly with a short attention span. Many years ago, Henry Kissinger, who was a diplomat on behalf of America, was visiting with Cho Enlai. Yes. And they were talking. This would have been a very famous anecdote in the 1970s. And they were just talking about history and East and West and Europe and China. And Henry Kissinger asked Cho Enlai, what do you think of the French Revolution? And Cho Enlai said, it's too soon to tell. And of course, 200 years ago. So help us understand that Chinese communism, in terms of incrementally, slowly getting dominance over the West and the USA, they're patient and willing to be in this for the long term, aren't they?
That's correct. My book just tried to explain people how China communist started as almost no power, no and resources, very little people, to a regime or to an entity, to an organization controlling the world. I tried to unveil and what's happening behind, usually ignored and people not pay attention about the Chinese intention. So actually, my father's teacher was Zhou Enlai, the founder of Chinese Communist Party, because really? Zhou Enlai was a nationalist before he switched side to the communist. But in Chinese history, I wrote in my book, actually, Zhou Enlai didn't switch. And a lot of people talk about that Zhou Enlai was nationalist, then switched to communist. This is a very common in China. That's my book, want to and alert people. Zhou Enlai was very high level people of nationalist. He also was very high level people of communist. In Chinese logic, there's no contradiction. Hmm. American might think, oh, I'm Republican, I cannot support and Democrats, or I'm Democrats, I cannot and for any Republican and the strategies. But China is different. You can say one thing and the noon, and you can say another thing at the night. For example, Foxconn CEO, the Terry Guo, and he mentioned at the morning he interviewed by the Chinese media, he mentioned unification between Taiwan and China, actually important. When he went back to Taiwan, switch side, he said, no, we must help Taiwan fight against communists. For Chinese people, for Chinese culture, there's nothing wrong. They don't think there's anything wrong. A lot of Taiwanese actually think Terry Guo is very, very, very powerful person because he can play both sides, he can talk both sides, still be a very powerful person. So that's very different than American. So that's, I think that's mentioned, that's what people didn't pay attention to or didn't notice that.
Among not government leaders, but among the population, the general population, what percentage in China, if you can quantify this with a number, how many of the Chinese population would be Christian?
This is a very sad story, and also that's why. And I was sorry to talk a little bit different. I was almost pointing to. And died 2019. And I pray at the church. Miraculously, I recovered. And because, definitely communists doesn't want me to survive. So that's my saddest part. When I look at those, I went to DC many times, when I talk American elites, the Christian members, and the time 2019, when I start to contact them, it's about 80 million. And Christians in China. Mm. Nowadays, I don't know. Most church has been torn down. And if you declare you are Christian, you declare and you are faith on Bible, you'll be arrested in China. This is a thought crime. And I don't know how many remain, and probably a few million, but and in public, probably we cannot find anyone.
Mm. A thought crime, you say?
That's correct, because this is a new God, and the new God is not people think it's communist. No, communists are not so stupid. They won't make themselves a new God. Their new God is the globalist. So in my book, I want to call the people attention. You talk about the Kissinger. And after he went to China, this very important change happened. Deng Xiaoping made an order to help to support the World Economic Forum and started. So China was founding member of World Economic Forum. And so the new God is the new agenda. And they said the Great Reset, or they say there's a new world order. And that's new God that Chinese want to push, communists want to push people to believe in.
Behind closed doors among the Chinese leaders, what do you think their reaction to the election of Donald Trump has been?
That's the interesting part. Always I want to tell people, and Chinese communists, and there's no formal study or there's no report, but the formal understanding is about 17 factions. Mm-hmm. Chinese communists is not unity. I always say Chinese communist is a paper tiger because inside there are so many conflicts.
So many factions.
So many factions, that many conflicts inside that people didn't aware. China actually is paper tigers. But the problem is, I said America, too many paper dogs. Uh-huh. So make China look so strong. And unfortunately, everyone talk about China. They are so afraid. They are so worried. They look at Hollywood. They have to follow China.
We've got a break. Forgive me. We've got a break. We're going to come back. Author, scholar, truth teller, Jason Ho. The website Teklium, Inc., Teklium, T-E-K-L-I-U-M, Inc. Stay tuned. Alex McFarland here. More on the Hamilton Corner after this break. Don't go away.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
Looking in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith, and individually members of one another. Father, we thank you once again for the wisdom, the powerful grace, the powerful understanding and insight that is ours as we spend time with you one-on-one in your word each and every day. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
We have to know what we're looking for in a judicial nominee.
According to Philip Jaragi, choosing a federal judge nominee is more important than people may realize.
Supreme Court justices under the Constitution, they serve, the Constitution says, during good behavior. Well, that really means life.
The stakes are high, and failure can be devastating.
We've gotten it wrong about 50% of the time with Supreme Court nominees. Had we gotten it just 75% of the time correct, we wouldn't be in the position we're in today.
Federal judges have the ability to change the direction of our nation, for better or for worse. That's why we need to understand the role judges play. What's their purpose? What are the guiding principles that shape who they are and how they use their authority? Learn about that and more with the AFA Cultural Institute DVD, Principles of a Constitutional Judge, with Philip Jaragi. It's available now at resources.afa.net. Resources.afa.net.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here. You know, it's always fascinating to hear people's stories. And author, researcher Jason Ho, I mean, his journey from Taiwan to the West to America is kind of like a movie script, really. And Jason, I want to thank you for being with us. The website, thebigplot.us, for one of his books, thebigplot.us, fascinating content. You know, help the American people understand. You said something in the previous break that communism in China is not perhaps as strong as we might think because of the various factions, like 17 splinter groups. I have to say I was not aware of that. So it is not the monolith that many of us might assume. Is that correct?
That's correct. As I mentioned, about the 50% communist, China communist elite, they have a children. They are Americans. Always, this is very common in the Communist Party. They must have their children as American because they don't have faith in their own country. Also, they don't have a faith. They can survive in their horrible struggle in their and the very volatile and the political environment. Mm. And this is something I hope Americans understand. Actually, they are very strong influence by the American also. They are very much following the Trump's and Trump's ideas.
Mm-hmm. For all of its vast land size and all of the vast population and the technology and the money, I mean, there is among many Westerners, myself included, I mean, there's the perception that China is the world superpower right now. Is that accurate?
China is not as people think. China just a shell. The shell seems so strong because the shell is not China. Mostly is Taiwan elites, like Taiwan semiconductor, Taiwan IT industry, and also Taiwan intelligence community. People didn't notice that. They deeply infiltrate the Western intelligence and the communities to spread information, to tell people how strong China is. In past 4 years, 4 million China companies bankrupt, median size above 4 million companies in China, and almost 30% people and in on the edge losing their job. Their society is not stable. The Chinese government run out of money. They use that shell to keep people think China's so strong. If we don't follow closely where the money is coming from, then we still think China is a very powerful country.
Do you feel like the computer grids in America, not only just people's personal data, but even government classified information like at the Pentagon, has our grid and our digital assets been compromised by China?
Definitely, because the American elite, I said, and China's paper tigers, we have so many paper dogs here, and love to serve the Chinese. And unfortunately, they control cloud, they control internet, they control information, Hollywood, media. So give people image, China is so wonderful, so powerful. They hide all the troubles, issue of China. They mislead people, misguided people, and think we had to be very careful of China. We have to trade very carefully. If we do something wrong, China superpower can retaliate us. It's not the case. China very weak. Hezbollah example, China so proud of Hezbollah, and they think they train them, they help them build the tunnels. But how long does it take for Israel to disarm them? Just a few days.
Do you feel like, to what degree, if any, are Chinese communists in a league with Islamic terrorists?
And they tried whatever they can. And the Chinese communists see Iran just the program manager, actually Chinese, the owner. But when Hezbollah being destroyed, this is a very terrible setback for the Chinese regime. The issue is, and China deeply infiltrate through the big techs, through their friends in America and worldwide, and to understand every information we have, no matter it's classified or non-classified. But Israel attack on Hezbollah is a wake-up call, because Chinese realize, based on their compromised data analysis, they cannot know in advance to have Hezbollah to be prepared for Israel attack. So I think wind is changing now.
So fascinating. Thebigplot.us, the website for your book. What is the premise of your book?
And this is the book one. I talk about the return of the phoenix. Phoenix are very important. It's a very important symbol for China. It's a powerful hell to decivilize the humanity. So this first book I talk about from the early 1900s, how the Communist Party formed until year 2000, and their plan to decivilize the world. And probably people can find many similarities what have happened in China. Now it's happening in the worldwide today through the book.
And how many volumes are there in your books?
And there will be two more volumes. And I'm keep writing it, and hopefully, and I will have every year have the next book available.
You're out of Taiwan. You're an American citizen. Do you ever like look over your shoulder and feel like though you're being surveilled or you're being followed or watched?
I'm terribly and under the heavy surveillance. And every day there's thousands of negative internet posts against me, talk about whereabouts, talk about what I'm doing. There are always strangers survey outside my door. I've been kidnapped twice, gunshot at twice, and I've been wrongfully arrested, almost died in jail, and I almost poisoned in 2019. So I have an unimaginable turbulent life.
Well, we need to keep you in prayer, and may God keep you safe. One last question, and we're going to have to change gears. Has the current DOJ been compromised by influence or operatives from China?
I believe there are more, not in the DOJ, also there are more in the IRS. That's what I've encountered. My case has been presented by the intelligence community to the FBI, but they just closed the case with the overwhelming evidence about those people and the compromised U.S. security.
So as Joe Biden transitions out, Donald Trump and his cabinet are inaugurated come January. Are there still moles in various parts of the government, in your opinion?
I think China have moles on both sides. That's the problem for the Chinese Communist Party. They are paper tigers, but the problem is not very smart. They won't put on mole on the one side. They will put on both sides. And so my book, it tried to disclose who are moles.
Okay. The big plot.
That's correct.
Okay. So, folks, fascinating. I'm wanting to read this myself. Where are the moles? Who are the moles? It's in the bigplot.us, that book. Well, Jason Ho, I want to thank you for being with us. I think this will be the first of many conversations. Godspeed. Be safe, stand strong, my brother.
Yes, I just hope my prayer is I can deliver God's word through my book. I want to wake up people, understand the challenges, understand we will prevail.
Indeed, indeed. God bless you. Thank you so much. Well, folks, Alex McFarland here. We're going to change gears in just a moment. We've got a guest coming up, Dr. Jerry Newcomb, a historian, author, broadcaster that you're familiar with him, I know. I want to give a big shout out to The Cove. That's where I was today. And, you know, this week, November 18 through 25, is the pickup weeks for Operation Christmas Child and the shoeboxes, OCC, Samaritan's Purse. And I was in a board meeting at The Cove earlier today, and Will Graham, son of Franklin Graham, was talking about the 4,500 drop-off locations. And let me encourage you, if you haven't packed a shoebox for a child, a toy, maybe some hygiene items. But these go around the world with the gospel. And please pray and participate in Operation Christmas Child. We heartily endorse it. I want to encourage people also to check out my own website, which is alexmcfarland.com. There are a lot of articles that I write for many, many websites, Town Hall, Epoch Times, Daily Caller, American Family Association, The Stand, and a couple of things I would make you aware of. The Cove, the Billy Graham Training Center in Western North Carolina, I'll be there next summer twice. I've been there for 20 summers, but next summer I'm doing two. Now, July 18 through 20, I'll be teaching the book of Job at The Cove, Why Do the Righteous Suffer? But then I'll also be doing, at the end of July and the 1st of August, an apologetics seminar with J. Warner Wallace. Jim Wallace, the famed Los Angeles homicide detective, became a great Christian defender of the faith. He and I are going to be doing what we call IBT, Intensive Bible Training on Apologetics. And the website is thecove.org, T-H-E-C-O-V-E, thecove.org, and sign up a trip to The Cove. You'll never forget it. It's amazing. Be a great Christmas gift, and I would love to be able to, both times, when I go there to teach the Bible and when I go there to teach apologetics, to pack the place, and would love to see you there. Well, right now I'm going to bring up from the Providence Forum and D. James Kennedy Ministries, a longtime friend and colleague, Dr. Jerry Newcomb, a couple of things I want to talk about, not the least of which is the documentary on the Pilgrims that we, a couple of years ago, I think probably in about 2022, we got a copy of this, and I showed it twice in Greensboro, almost packed a church on two consecutive Wednesday nights. It's amazing. But Dr. Jerry Newcomb, are you there, my friend?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks for...
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah. Good evening, and thanks for being with us, Dr.
Yes.
Newcomb.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah, there are several things I want to run by you, but before we get into it too much, I want you to give your website, the documentaries. In addition to the Pilgrims documentary, what are some of the other films you've created with the Providence Forum?
Yes, I have created a whole series of seven films on America's Judeo-Christian roots, and I call it the Foundation of American Liberty Films. American, and basically, if somebody asks, well, what's the foundation of American liberty? And the answer is our Judeo-Christian heritage. And so these films, the first one, by the way, in the whole seven-part series, and they all stand alone. In other words, you could see one, and you don't need to see the other. If you see episode two, you don't have to have seen episode one to understand things. But basically, I go from the Pilgrims to City on a Hill to the Bible and Education. That episode I call The Beginning of Wisdom. Then I deal with The Road to Independence, George Washington, Endowed by Their Creator, which is all about the Declaration of Independence, and then also We the People. And the goal was to basically show that the Judeo-Christian tradition had a lot to do with the founding of America. When you really get back, especially during the settling era, but even during the founding era, a lot of people want to say, well, okay, we agree that the Pilgrims and the Puritans and the Quakers or whatever founded these different early settlements, but by the time you get to the founding fathers, these were men that basically were non-believers for all practical purposes, and Christianity and the Bible didn't influence their thinking. And that's actually not true. Were some with some questionable views religiously, but even they were a lot closer to a biblical perspective on government than what they're given credit for.
Indeed. With Thanksgiving just a week from Thursday, I want to talk about the Pilgrims for just a moment. I also want to solicit your thoughts about some of the current kind of theological landscape we find ourselves in. But where can people find the videos? And folks, again, I cannot overstate how powerful the Pilgrims documentary is. Like I say, our ministry showed it in Greensboro, my hometown. We promoted and got huge audiences both nights we showed it and just glowing reviews. But Dr. Newcomb, where can people find these videos?
At providenceforum.org, providenceforum.org. And the name of the series is The Foundation of American Liberty.
Mm-hmm. Why should Thanksgiving be very significant and near and dear to the hearts of all Americans, but especially Christian Americans?
Well, I think as a starting point, it's actually just an annual reminder of our Christian roots. I mean, Thanksgiving is in reference to God, setting aside a day, theoretically, for Americans to give thanks to God because of his blessings in us becoming a nation. And the tradition we have, of course, is in the mold of the Pilgrims. Believe it or not, a year before they even came, there was a Thanksgiving proclamation in Jamestown. Again, Thanksgiving to God. Then by the time you get to the founding fathers during the time of the American War for Independence and so forth, the Continental Congress declared Thanksgiving, days of Thanksgiving. George Washington, our first president under the U.S. Constitution, was the first to declare a national day of Thanksgiving. And,
hold that thought. Forgive me, Dr. Newcomb. We've got a brief break. Alex McFarland here with Dr. Jerry Newcomb. More about the world and our witness in it. Stay tuned. We're back after this brief break with more of the Hamilton Corner on the American Family Radio Network.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we've removed the letters ing. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at afr.net. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here talking with Dr. Jerry Newcomb. You know, I would encourage you to go back, AFR.net, as in AmericanFamilyRadio.net, and listen again to the first half of the show as well. Taiwanese, refugee almost, and American citizen Jason Ho, author of The Big Plot, very insightful. Equally so is our current friend with whom we visit, Dr. Jerry Newcomb. And Dr. Newcomb, you know, before the break, we were talking about the pilgrims and the pilgrim video. And I want you to finish any thoughts on that. But I want to segue for the time we have left and talk about worldview and how one's beliefs about God and morals, and especially even about history, how, as R.C. Sproul would say, ideas have consequences. We'll get there. But continue the thought about the Pilgrims video and how the founders were not deists, not secularists like people thought. They really did infuse our founding principles with biblical truths by design, and we should not forget that. But continue, please.
Sure. So in the one of the things I show or try to bring home in the Pilgrims video is that when the Pilgrims were blown off course in 1620 in the voyage of the Mayflower, and they had had a few strangers that they had hired that were sympathetic to their goal to create this Bible Commonwealth in the New World, this the Bible based colony, but since they were blown off course, they were not under any government's jurisdiction. The permission they had from, the authorities in England to create this colony, that permission did not apply because they were in uncharted territory, or not uncharted territory, but territory that they weren't officially allowed to. So what the Pilgrims ended up doing is they created world history. They made an agreement for self-government under God. It's called the Mayflower Compact, and it became the first step, ultimately, in the American experiment of creating the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution 150 years later. In other words, an agreement for self-government under God, the consent of the governed, which the men would sign, which is the custom of the day. And this is really an amazing thing, because basically what they did was they applied the biblical concept of covenant to create their colony. And then after them, lots of Puritan colonies that were created, and the Quakers and later the Presbyterians and so forth did the same thing. In other words, the biblical concept of covenant ultimately gave rise to the American Constitution. And so this is a really important point brought out in this series of specials, and I was so pleased with the different guests that we had. But in the example of the Pilgrims video, they're the ones that really started that process in the cabin of the Mayflower. In the name of God, amen, having undertaken a voyage for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith, this is what they created. And so in our series on the Christian faith and the role it played in America, we have all kinds of different guests, such as Dennis Prager, Roz Guinness, Eric Metaxas, John Eidsmo, Cal Beisner, Gibbs, Peter Lilbeck, Father Leon Hutton, the late Walter Williams, Marshall Foster, Daniel Dreisbach, Daryl White, and so forth. So I was very, very pleased the way this all came together.
Sure. All those names you mentioned, including Dennis Prager, it's been my privilege to interview all of those people, and maybe one or two at most I haven't interviewed, but this is just an all-star cast of great thinkers and analysts. And, I've got to ask you this. Okay, November 5th was a windfall for those of us that are Christian constitutionalists. We care about America. Kind of reminded me, Jerry, do you remember back when Reagan was running for re-election, the 84 election?
Yes.
And I mean, it was a Republican sweep from coast to coast, really. And I remember a very rattled Dan Rather. He said, this is a fairy tale night for Republicans. I mean, it was like that, you know, with the prospect, or should I say the threat, of Kamala Harris and socialists, you know, taking over our government, and the imposition of transgender ideology and viewpoint suppression. And suddenly, you know, election night brought overwhelming good news for those of us that love God and country. Here's my question. Do you feel like, is it too much of a stretch to say God intervened? I mean, July 13, Donald Trump could have been killed, and he wasn't. I mean, that bullet missed his skull by millimeters. And so Trump was spared. He was spared again in Florida. He won by 10 million votes. Is it fair to say God has given America a second chance?
I think so, but I also think first of all, I'm very happy about this, because I don't like the way the whole Biden-Harris administration was taking the country. In, you know, even in terms of everything, the illegal immigrants, the cancel culture, the transgender agenda, all those different things, promotion of abortion. It's almost as if Kamala Harris's big campaign promise was, vote for me and I'll make sure that abortion is allowed up to the moment of birth. And she even was asked, well, what about, you know, let's say Catholic institutions, like Catholic hospitals that don't want to do abortions. And she said that there should be no restrictions on abortions. And so it implied in what she was offering was that there would be no conscience rights for those who disagree with abortion. So all of a sudden you're saying a Catholic hospital, or Baptist hospital for that matter, would have to do abortions against their conscience? I mean, America was founded for conscience rights. So this is really critical. Yes, I feel very happy about this. And I would add to it, we absolutely need a spiritual transformation. We need to add to it the people themselves need to be moral. As mm-hmm. John Adams put it, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Mm-hmm. And so in the ultimate sense, revival is the key, and more people truly getting saved. I'm not happy that abortion as an issue, it's almost like the pro-life side of things is, well, we'll just deal with that later. But between the two, you know, one was like radically pro-abortion in every way. The other was, you know, at least allowing some common sense restrictions on abortion. So anyway, but the need ultimately is a change and transformation of the heart and the hearts of the people. But overall, it was a refreshing thing. And by the way, I was there in the place in Palm Beach County, just 1 hour north of here. I was there. I didn't stay up all night and, you know, wait until Trump came to you know, give his speech. But it was very electric. And I saw a video later, and I was like, oh, I recognize the room. Oh, there was the lady that took my ID and let me in, because I saw her with a distinct dress or whatever. And this impromptu singing of How Great Thou Art in the hallway.
Really?
There.
See, I did stay up, Jerry. I stayed up till 3:45 watching all of that. So you were there. Shame on you. You were there and you didn't stay to the very end.
Well, I told my wife later, oh, if only somebody had told me, you know, this is how it would have turned out. I would have just figured out I'd get some Red Bull or coffee or Coca-Cola or something.
Some caffeine. But say this again. So there was this impromptu singing of How Great Thou Art.
Well, that's a viral video. If you just Googled, you know, How Great Thou Art, Trump, or, you know, what was the date? It technically was November 6th in the wee hours of the morning.
Yeah, it would have been in the wee hours. Well, you know what, Jerry, I was at the RNC convention in Milwaukee. I was up there with the Wisconsin Family Policy Council and Charlie Kirk. We spoke to a lot of youth. It was great. Like that. folks, I will say this. The RNC, way back in August, it was like a revival meeting. I mean, you could not go into the vestibule of the— it was a big coliseum, like 20,000 people there. But like any time, day or night, if you went out into the lobby, there were prayer groups. And I was walking around, and you were hearing people, they were praying for America. They were praying for revival. But I was overhearing people pray for lost people. And look, I get it. My hope is not in a political party. My hope is in the dear Lord Jesus Christ. But
amen.
Dr. New, I think the Spirit of God is moving in this country. And you could speak to this far better than I, but when revival comes, yes, it touches the church house and it touches families. But when a real move of God's Holy Spirit permeates a nation, it touches the social fabric too, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, you could argue, and I think this is true, that the first Great Awakening, which was a spiritual move up and down the Atlantic coast in the 1730s, beginning in the 1730s in Massachusetts with Jonathan Edwards, then spread around the whole, the rest of the colonies through George Whitefield and other preachers, but George Whitefield in particular, that helped create the United States, as a united nation. And then with the Second Great Awakening, which happened in the early 1800s, that move really helped to prick people's conscience and work against slavery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're almost out of time. Two quick things. First, quickly, and then not so quickly, your website. And folks, let me encourage you, the Pilgrims documentary, it's phenomenal. Everything Providence Forum does is absolutely excellent. But where may people find—
Oh, you're very kind.
This one? Yeah.
Sure. At providenceforum.org, providenceforum.org, and it's under the first main post there is all about the Foundation of American Liberty series, and the first one of those is the Pilgrims. And it's interesting, Alex, since we have a nation with a short attention span, I decided to basically carve up this information into short little videos that can be shared on YouTube, and I have them all listed out, again, at the providenceforum.org. So, for example, I took the Pilgrims and carved it into little segments: Understanding the Pilgrims, Religious Controversy in England, Persecution of the Pilgrims on the Move, Preparing for the Voyage of the Mayflower Compact, Surviving the Winter, the Pilgrims' Progress. Mm. So, in other words, you can just watch these and get the gist of it. But I also, there's a link to it where you can just watch it right there on your computer, or you could get a DVD if you wish, or you could get it through streaming, through salemnow.com. It's even been translated into Chinese, as in using subtitles, because a friend from Taiwan saw it and said, oh, the Chinese people need to see this, because this is the beginning of the story of America, or the story of the beginning of America, and people need to know that this is all about, the Christian roots of America. So anyway, I thought that was really important to do.
Well done, brother. So worldview, we've only got another minute and a half, and this could be an hour-long show. Give us a challenge on why it's important for churches, Bible studies, families to teach worldview, biblical worldview, to children coming up.
Well, yeah, sure. Let me say this. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, when he gave the Great Commission, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations and teach them everything that I've taught you. I mean, that's not all of those words, but that's the whole point. But here's the thing. Jesus Christ is the Lord, and he has the authority over everything. And because he's Lord of all, everything we do, we should be applying the lordship of Christ to the great issues of the day. There's a Christian perspective on economics. There's a Christian perspective on music and arts. There's a Christian perspective on government and law.
And education.
Frankly, when you look at education, what's best in the West,
Jerry, I'm
world,
so sorry. We're almost out of time. Forgive me for steamrolling over you. Folks, this has been the Hamilton Corner with Alex McFarland. Hey, listen again at AFR.net. God bless you and God bless America.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.